Thank you all for being here tonight. And it's not quite as cold, did you notice? The good Lord has moved again, and we have better weather on the way, and we're delighted and thankful for that. If you're visiting with us tonight, we thank all of you for being here and following this service. We are going to have our chili supper out in the activity building, and you're certainly invited to come and to be a part of that. And also, the cake auction is just an opportunity for us to help provide funds for our young people. And if you'd like to make a contribution to that, then certainly you are at liberty to do that and would appreciate any and all contributions made to the youth fund. We do that every year, and it just gives all of us an opportunity to share with our young people and to be a part of their great work and fellowship. This morning, we talked about the subject of baptism, and we talked a little bit about why people are not baptized. I want to talk to you a little bit further here on the subject, what determines your fundamental principles. Because if I could find out what your fundamental principles are, then perhaps maybe we could move forward into that area of New Testament baptism. What are principles anyway? Number one, we have determined what makes fundamental principles. You know, fundamental principles are so important to our life. We generally refer to them as core values as well. Actually, fundamental means foundational, doesn't it? And that is a principle that all of us have. We understand the value of foundation. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, toward the end of that particular chapter and on into chapter 1, the Bible says that we should be moving forward. We should be moving away from the very fundamentals of dead works to serving the living God, because that should be behind us. In other words, our solid rock foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 3:11, the Bible says, "Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so that's why we place our faith upon Him. Christ, even in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, talked about the man who laid the good foundation, and it was founded upon the rock. But then He talked about the foolish man who built his house upon the shifting sand. You know, sometimes the sand of our life shifts simply because we do not have a good foundation. You know, we always try in this congregation to give our young people a real strong, vibrant foundation of Christianity and what it means to be a child of God. That's why we have Bible classes. That's why we have Children's Bible Hour. That's why we have Vacation Bible School, is to give our young people an opportunity to develop a strong and firm foundation. And that's where we learn the principles, the things by which we live. We all have principles in life. There are some things, and what I mean by that is there are some things that we will do, there are some things that we will not do. And if our foundation is right, we would be able to discern between what is right and what is wrong. And in that 6th chapter, that's where the Apostle Paul goes on to say that we're not going to lay again the foundation. It should be there. Now we're going to move forward and we're going to start growing as a child of God. And in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, the Bible says that we're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, but what are your fundamental principles here tonight? In asking you that question, I simply want to challenge your thinking. Do you really know that there are things that you would not do and things that you will do? Most of us know the things that we will do. Where we really have great trouble is being able to distinguish between the two, or knowing that these things I will not do. And you can say that in the affirmative. I won't do this. I won't go beyond this. But too many times we go beyond it, don't we? The Bible in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and also Hebrews chapter 6 tells us that if we sin willfully after that we've received the knowledge of God, And then we go back into the world. He said there is no remission. And that means to sin willfully. And so we have to guard our lives to keep from doing that. But then secondly, what about your personal value system? You know, if people really established their value system upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, it would be a wonderful thing, and we would not be as weak as we might be otherwise. You know, young people wear the little bracelet, WWJD, or what would Jesus do? That's always a question we ought to entertain in our mind when we are faced with temptation. Christ prayed, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, Matthew chapter 6. And so when temptation confronts us, the Bible says, Paul speaking to a young minister named Timothy, said, flee temptation and youthful lust. And you do that because you are so principled upon the foundation of Jesus Christ our Lord. And, you know, sometimes people think that they're failures as God's people. Sometimes they think, well, I don't know, I'm just having a lot of trouble being a real devoted Christian. But you know, that shouldn't be the case with us. If we are focused on God, and that is, if that is our agenda, then we develop the right kind of personal value system. What is valuable tonight to you? What is the most valuable thing that you possess? You know what it is? I'll tell you what mine is. It's my eternal soul. And Jesus, in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, and also over in the book of Mark chapter 8, said, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? What would he? And what is a man to profit if he shall gain the whole world and then lose his own soul? You see, your soul is more valuable than your money. It's more valuable than your family. It's more valuable than this church. Listen, Jesus died for the church collectively, but he died for your soul specifically. And if you were the only one living upon the face of this earth when Christ went to the cross, I can tell you that he died for you. And he died for all of us, and we're so thankful and grateful. The thing that is most valuable to me is my relationship with God and my soul, and knowing that when I leave this world, that I will go and be with my Father who is in heaven, that I have loved the one to whom I have offered praises in songs and in prayers, the one I have endeavored to live for and with, and that should be the value system, I think, of everybody here. Don't you think that that is right? Some people blot it out. It's not, listen, when people continue to sin, that's not right. It's just not. But people take it away, and they seek to do the wrong things. But we have to seek to do the right thing. Some people say, my values are as good as they get. Now, somebody says something like that to you, they're saying essentially that I'm never going to change from where I am. I've already established my value system. That can be good, and it can be bad. If your value system is based upon Christ and things that are spiritual, that's a good thing. That's wonderful. You could say something like that. But if your values are not what they ought to be, that's not a good statement, because you have to change your values in order to please God. Someone said, I'm not stubborn, but my way is always better. You ever been around people like that? Some people live their lives like that. They think that their value system is better than God's or everybody else's. And if feelings can be so easily altered, why do we trust them? Think about that just a minute. We should act upon the word of God. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. That's what that passage says. Now, he calls a man very foolish, who's only wanting to vent his own feelings about a certain thing. You ever been around people that say that? Well, you know, you can tell them the truth. You can quote the Word of God, and they say, yeah, but I don't feel that way. Like, their feelings take precedence over God's Word. I mean, God's Word is so much more important than the way we feel. Solomon said there's a way that feels right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Your feelings, listen, don't mount to anything when it stacks up against Jehovah God. It just doesn't. Now, you've heard people say, well, you ought to just express your feelings. Well, that can be good and it can be bad as well. Sometimes people can have bad vibes or bad feelings. Yeah, it's not right to express those. It's not necessary to do that. But if our feelings are right, it's all right for us to express our feelings. People are often foolish in following, however, their own heart. And I don't know how many times I hear people make statements like that. Well, just follow your heart. You know, or I've got Jesus right here in my heart. What if that's just a feeling and you don't really have Jesus in your heart? What if that's just a feeling when you say, well, I just feel this way, and that's the way most people express themselves. It's based upon how they feel, not upon what the Word of God says. In religion today, I'm telling you that it has come to that point with many religious groups, and I dare say that many even in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. For a lot of people bring in new innovations within the body of Christ that are unwarranted. They're not taught in the Word of God, but they do it because they feel that it is all right. But you see, if your value system is based upon Christ, you'd want to do what Christ taught, not your feelings. That's why I said sometimes it's not a great value for us to express our feelings. In Proverbs 28 and verse 26, again, Solomon says that only a fool trusts in his own heart. But did you know the Bible says that the heart can be deceitfully wicked? Who can believe it? Now consider that one. The heart can be good, but sometimes the heart can be bad. Feelings are neither fixed or reliable. Consider that just a minute. Did you know that's so true? Feelings change, don't they? They do. They're not fixed. They're not established. Feelings aren't, because feelings are made to change. You may feel this way today, but tomorrow your feelings may change. You may have certain values that are based on your feelings tonight that may not be your feelings tomorrow. And yet sometimes people in life find themselves in straits, not knowing where to turn. Some days they're happy, some days they're sad, because that's what feelings really are. The Bible says, let your conscience not be your guide, but we should live by the dictates of a conscience that is founded upon the Word of God. But so many people use this little expression up here to govern their religious life. Let your conscience be your guide. What if your conscience is wrong? What if you conscientiously believe something and then later learn that it was wrong? But you let your conscience be your guide. You don't follow your conscience unless the conscience is educated to truth. You can make a horrible mistake in your life. Follow only if your conscience knows what is right. What is right? It's more than a feeling. Before the apostle became a follower of Jesus, Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, he was killing Christians, as we mentioned this morning, but he said, I live, now listen to his own words, he said, I live by my feelings. He said, I live by the dictates of my conscience. He said, for in the book of Acts 23:1, he said, I have lived in all good conscience unto this very day. You see, Paul thought that what he was doing by killing Christians was the thing that ought to be done. Paul, being a Jew himself and being of the tribe of Benjamin, he believed that, hey, my relationship with God's okay. I don't need to become a Christian. However, Christ spoke to him on the road to Damascus. And he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And Jesus said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute. And he said, it is hard for you to kick against the goads. God had tried to reach him in a lot of ways. Now he speaks to him. You know what a goad is? A goad is used to prod cattle. It is. And so, you know, God uses a lot of goads, doesn't he? He uses a gospel sermon as a goad to move people. He might use someone's prayer, like was prayed a moment ago, to goad people to do what's right. He uses the Bible to goad people. He uses the encouragement that we get from one another as a goad to move us to change our life. He later referred to himself as the chiefest of sinners in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. You ever heard people say, here again, based not on the truth, but based on their own feelings, they say, I don't see anything wrong with it, so I'm doing it. How can anyone defy the Word of God by taking that kind of position? I don't see anything wrong with it. And, you know, I guess you could go anywhere with that. What if someone says, well, I don't see anything wrong with adultery. I don't see anything wrong with stealing. I don't see anything wrong with lying. If I'm doing it for a good reason, is it wrong? It absolutely is wrong. And just because you feel it's okay or you don't see anything wrong with it does not make it right. That is a wrong answer. But thirdly, what about fundamental principles of the majority? Did you know that most of us develop our fundamental principles based upon society? We used the word culture the other day. Someone was talking about someone being a cultural Christian. How could anybody be a cultural Christian? No, can't do that. Can't be a cultural Christian. But what about the principles of the majority? Did you know Christ said the majority are generally wrong? Factually speaking, in the book of Matthew chapter 7, he said, strive to enter at the straight gate, for straight is a gate, and there is a way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it, in verse 13. But he says, broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. So he's saying the majority is wrong. So what about the fundamental principles of the majority? You better take another look. And you don't say, well, everybody's doing it, or I don't see anything wrong with it, or, you know, the Bible doesn't really address that. Many believe our standards or our values should be majority rules. I've told people that many times. The church is not a democracy. It isn't. It's not, you know, if we took a vote here tonight, which we're not going to do, that's not a biblical thing anyway. But some people say, well, you know, the majority rules. No, it doesn't. God rules. God rules in all matters. Jesus said the contrary. Go in the straight gate. That's not what society teaches. But many assume that if others are doing it, well, it must be right. Several years ago, I encountered a woman in our congregation, and she's no longer here. You wouldn't know her. And but anyway, she could not figure out why in the world we didn't have instruments of music up here playing while we were taking the Lord's Supper, why we didn't have women up here preaching and teaching. But it gets back to what the Bible says, folks. What the Bible says. In the book of Amos chapter 6 and verse 5, Amos said, woe unto them that chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David. That's pretty profound, isn't it? And isn't it profound also that in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 that Paul says that we're to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. That's foundational, isn't it? Peer pressure can destroy your life if you let it. And by peer pressure, I mean what we've been talking about tonight. People that try to eradicate your principles or even the principles that are coming from the Word of God. Don't change. My advice to you is don't change so people will like you, but be yourself and the right people will love you. You know, I guess I have as many friends in Palestine as anybody. I don't say that egotistically. I just feel that way. And maybe those feelings are unwarranted. I don't know. But I do have a lot of friends in Palestine. Now, they're not members of the church. But they're people that like me and I like them. And we get along. But you know what? I'm always myself. What you see is what you get. Doesn't change. I don't talk one way when I'm among people that are of a denominational nature, and one way when I'm with Christians. They know what I say, what I believe, what I teach, according to the will of God. Wrong is wrong, even if everyone is doing it, and right is right, even if no one is doing it. For the way of man is not in himself, nor is it in man to determine his steps. Solomon said that a long time ago. What about people that say, I think the majority is right? Are they? Not according to Jesus. You've chosen the wrong answer if that's the way you feel. If that's what your fundamental principles are all about. I like Proverbs 1 when Solomon wrote in verses 10 through 16. He said, my son, those who love to do wrong will try to trick you. He says, don't listen to them. They will say, come with us. Let's hide. And beat to death anyone who happens to walk by. We will swallow them whole. As the grave swallows those who are dying. We will take everything they have and fill our house with stolen goods. So join us and you can share everything we get. My son, don't follow them. Don't even take the first step along that path. For they run to do something that is evil, and they cannot wait to kill someone. It's a dangerous thing to follow the crowd. It is. Did you know that even if you're not doing wrong out there, committing a crime, if someone is with you, you are an accomplice to what they are doing. The fundamentals of the principles of our government was based upon Christianity. Governments exist to uphold their values, not for the purpose of setting their values. We know what our values are in this country. Our role is not to establish values that have been determined and given by those who founded the framers of the Constitution of the United States. And Paul in the book of Romans 13 acknowledged that when he said, people who do right don't have to fear rulers, but those who do wrong must fear them. Do you want to be free from fearing them? Then only do what is right, and they will praise you. Rulers are God's servant to help you. But if you do wrong, you have reason to be afraid. They have the power to punish, and they will use it. They are God's servants to punish those who do wrong. King James translation says they're not a terror to those who do good, but they are a terror to those who do wrong. And when you've been listening on the news recently about all of the fraud that's been going on in our government, and these people are running scared, sure they are. The guilty always hollers before everybody else. Ronald Reagan once said, "Beware when someone says, 'I'm from the government, I'm here to help you.'" And you know, there could be a lot of truth to that. Fifthly, the only way to develop principal values is from the Bible, the holy word of Jehovah God. For God says, "My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth," he says, "so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." We have to stand firm on the principled foundations that we find in God's eternal word. God has given us his word for a basis, 2 Timothy 3, and it was inspired of God, and we must follow him. "For all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work." But what happens is sin comes along, and because of sin, we change our values. What was principled many years ago has changed. And that's a sad thing, isn't it? So for best results, follow the instructions, what God has given. He calls upon you to step out of your comfort zone. You're a victor, not a victim. Act like you got the victory and declare, "I got the victory." And make your decision to serve him. So tonight, if you're not a Christian, are you principled enough to make a decision to serve God and to serve him faithfully? And if you're a child of God and you've strayed away from the Lord and you know that your principles are not what they used to be and you've allowed them to change and digress over a period of time, why not come back to Jesus tonight while we stand and sing?